Blog Talk Radio.
I'm
Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Won't he work it out, work it out, work it out? Won't he work it out? He's done worked it out. If you're up this morning, he worked it out. If you're walking around, he worked it out. If you praised him this morning, he worked it out. If your bills is paid and you've been fed this morning, he worked it out. If your kids is okay, the car is running, the sun's shining, the birds singing, he worked it out. Amen. Glory to God. This is your Pastor Matthew McNeil with your Fix It Six on Monday night. This beautiful, beautiful day. I'm a little hype. Amen. Glory to God. I've just been doing some crazy stuff with First Lady today. It's one of them times that we spent actually, I mean, the whole 24 hours so far today, we actually spent together. And people who know us, when me and her together, woo, there's some praying going on. Amen. Glory to God. But we had a wonderful day. We had breakfast. We had prayer. We spent a lot of time together. We just talked and we laughed and we joked and we just loved on each other and loved on each other. And the day is still young. We still got some more loving to do. Amen. Glory to God. That's what happens when the Lord gives you a jewel. Amen. And the Lord gives you a treasure. We have to get to the place to be reminded that the treasure that God gives us is a treasure from heaven. So we as men should pray over our wives, pray for our wives, and lay hands on our wives. It don't have to be nothing bad happening. It don't have to be nothing but just to keep them in God's care and God's peace, just to speak confidence in their life, speak love and joy into their life, speak wisdom and outstanding things to happen. Long life, longevity. Amen. Glory to God. Continue to be good mothers and grandmothers. Amen. Continue to be women of God doing the things that God has called them to do. We got to get to a place and understand that as men, we're called to pray. And I mean pray. We're called. We're not the head of the house for nothing. You're not the shepherd of your home for nothing. It is time. God is listening. We got Bible. We're going to go in the book of Ephesians today. We're going to go into chapter 1, verses 15 through 23. We're going to talk about Paul and his prayers and what kind of prayers he prayed for. We're going to really, really, really get down to the nitty-gritty. I've been blessed to... Well, God has laid it on my heart to start the Great Commission Men's Ministry all over again. And I have some great, great plans. And I know the Lord has some great, great power and anointing to anoint these plans. So I'm just praying. If you're a praying person, if you're a praying warrior, if you really trust and believe in the Lord, please pray that everything that God has called me to do, that I'll be able to do physically, financially, mentally, in any other way to do it. But we have to remember, we give all glory to God. Amen. With that being said, let us pray. Father God, we thank you for your sunshine. We thank you for your rays of joy and laughter and peace of mind and understanding. We thank you for the resources of life. We thank you for the resources of wisdom. We thank you for the bowing down, Father, to be able to praise you and worship you. So, Father, we want to say a special prayer for those that are in Florida and all those places where tornadoes and floods and storms and heat waves have been. We ask you, Father, to give them the resources to survive, to give them some knowledge and wisdom and understanding to keep praising you and believing in you and trusting in you, Father. We ask you to bless those that are in Florida, those bless those who have lost loved ones throughout this day and throughout this week, God. We just ask you to help them in that time of grieving, Father. We just ask them to lift them up, Father, into your bosom and hold on to them, Father. Bring them to the altar, Father. Let them know that we all got to go one day, but to be a part of your life, to be a part of the building of the kingdom of God is a wonderful, wonderful place to be at. And we just thank you. Bless our children, our grandchildren, our friends, our loved ones, our partners, everybody, including our enemies. We give them over to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Wow, 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 wow. In the book of Ephesians, the spiritual blessings of Christ, Paul had in the book of Ephesians, chapter 1, 15 through 23, is one of the longer prayers and Paul, I could say, like, I guess it's one of the longer prayers, and his prayer section is just maybe one of the longer letters that Paul had written. Paul's prayer, it does more than just record the content of his prayer for his audience to read, but it serves to reestablish the vision for their identity and reassert the nature of the faith life into which they have been called. And we have to remember that we have been called to do a thing for God. We are now really, really in a faith walk. Amen. So I'm going to read chapters 15 to 23. Amen. Hallelujah. Where Paul prays for knowledge and wisdom. Amen. Wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love unto all the saints, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that ye may know what is the hope of his calling and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance is in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness to us toward who believes according to the work of his mighty power, which we wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principle and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in the world, but also in that which is to come, and have put all things under his feet and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. Hallelujah. What a higher power, what a higher power. Amen. When Paul prayed for the Ephesians, he didn't ask God to give them anything new, but instead he prayed they would comprehend the power they already had through Jesus Christ. Specifically, he asked that God would help them understand they have availability to them the same exceedingly greatness and power that God exercised when he raised Jesus from the dead. Woo! That's a mighty, mighty, mighty beautiful thing to know that God has given us power to heal and to raise the dead. But we have to believe in it and we have to walk in it. It just don't fall in your lap and say, okay, you can go out and heal. No, there's a work to be done. There's an establishment with Christ. There's a sacrifice. But God is willing and will give it to us. Amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. While men have found ways to split the atom and land on the moon, they haven't and won't overcome death. I don't care how much money you got. I don't care how many cars, how many mansions, how many islands, how many times you went to the moon, how many times you dug up gold, how many times you found diamonds. You cannot overcome death. Yet God can and did. Makes him so powerful and mighty. And every follower of Jesus Christ can depend on the same power God used to raise Jesus. The next time you're faced with a problem that seems too big for you to handle, don't pray for more power. Instead, ask God to help you use the power you already have in Jesus Christ. See, we got to realize that there's already a power in us. There's already a greatness in us. We got to get back to asking God how to use what he's already given us. Well, you know, because a lot of times, oh, Lord, I just need you. But I've given you power to heal. I've given you power to do these things. We just got to get to the place where we have that understanding. Amen. Because I was reading and I realized that Paul, the contrast he had for his readers and a form of spiritual condition, the life and hope that salvation by grace through faith in Christ has given them. And if you go over to chapter 2, it talks about he then shows how the Gentiles are now fellow citizens with the Jewish believers. And we can go on to the turning from the privileges of the responsibilities of the believers, how Paul exhorts his readers to grow in unity and in maturity as they exercise their spiritual gifts. Listen, if you ever get a chance, read chapter 4, verse 6 in the book of Ephesians. It talks about the spiritual gifts that we have and to exercise them. Why? Listen, dude, it amazes you that you get up in the morning and you get that little limp. Oh, Lord, my hip hurts. Oh, Lord, you just, the power you have given me, I want to activate it right now to heal this hip. I want this hip to know that I am not defeated, but it is in Jesus' name. Now, the thing comes when you trust and believe. You'll find yourself walking and not limping because you're like, whoa, what happened? You trusted and believed that the power that God has given you, it worked. But we have to have an activating faith. Our faith has to be an activating faith. It has to activate the power. It has to activate the wisdom. It has to activate our love for our neighbors. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So why is Paul doing this? Why does he say things in the peculiar way he does in the book of Ephesians? The context would explain like this, of course, but we know little about the context of Paul's audience. We don't know who he was talking. We know a fraction of who he was talking to, but we don't know the fullness of it. It is likely that the original audience may have been like a broader crowd than the community in Ephesians. Nevertheless, one clear theme is the reconciliation in Christ, reconciliation to God, and consequently also to one another. Reconciliation that crosses established lines between the Romans and the Greeks. Their culture and human traditions had drawn that thing that kept certain people apart, reminding people of our rootedness in God. It's just like today, certain things are keeping us, certain people apart. You know, I want to be considered a woman, but I was born a male. I want to be considered a citizen of this community, of the LPDG, no disrespect, I just don't know it. But that community, but I don't want to be, the normal community, the people who are considered normal, they're trying to make us the outcast. You see what I'm saying? So we got to be so careful what we listen to, who we talk to, and what we are trusting and believing. That's why it's so important to read our Bibles. It is so important to get the true nourishing of the Word of God. You know, they want to pit the Muslims against the Jews, the blacks against the whites, the greens against the purples, the blues against the blacks, the polka dots against the stripes. It's just a division, and that's the trick of the enemy. We are all God's children. If you can find one person on this planet, anybody that you know, I don't care who it is, and cut them, and if they got any color blood coming out besides the color that you have, let me know. We come from the same Father, the same dirt. We come from the same Creator. Amen? And we are to praise and worship this Creator, which whom I decide to call my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, on a daily basis. I often pray and ask God to spread out his wisdom to all mankind, that we'll be on the same page and praising him and worshiping him and loving our brother one with another. I ask for the knowledge and understanding to show me how to even love those who talk about me, who consider me a bad person, who whatever, because I need those characteristics of Christ so I can speak life into something that's dying. My wife had got me a plant. Well, she had got me a few plants, but two of them, they just passed away. I tried my best. I put the water in one. He got too much water. I didn't put water in one. He got too much sun, so he had a suntan. The other one drowned. So I say this, I want a plant. I want to be able to put life into something. I want to speak life. I want to laugh at it. I want to play it and watch it grow. So she went and got some dirt, and she said, listen,
This one right here, you can't kill. This one can't die. Look at it. It's blossoming, and it's already, it's rooting, and it's blossoming. All you got to do is when this dirt turns a different color, put water in it. I say that water is a mighty thing. When you're thirsty, you drink. But we got to be thirsty like that for Christ. That same water will bring us life. That same water, that word, will bring us everlasting life. We don't have to worry about something happening every day, because the thirst that we have, it's an automatic spiritual draining. We should get to the point where Jesus feel like, good God Almighty, it's a drought up here. They just sucking all the water out of me. They just sucking all the life out of me, because we're praising you and worshiping you. But that plant, it sits strong and it sits firm. And I was just looking at it a few minutes ago, and it was almost like it was wiggling like a palm tree, like it had some kind of life to it, like it was talking to me. Yeah, I'm here. I ain't going nowhere. I'll be here as long as you be here. I might be here after you gone. So that's how strong and faithful the plant believes that it is. And I believe that the nourishing and the love and the joy that she put in it, and she taught me how to do the same. So that's just like Jesus teaching us how to love and bring life through power that he has given us through a dying thing, a dying soul. We are to speak that thing back into life, to an existence. But because some of us have a lazy spirit, or some of us have an angry spirit all the time, or we had those selfish spirits, or we had that I don't feel like being bothered today spirit, people are still dying and souls are still decaying and falling to the pits of hell, because we're not bringing life to that thing. Amen. If that makes any sense. I'm not trying to get deep and I'm not trying to be a scientist, but I'm trying to get us to understand that there's life in our, there's power in our words. We can speak life into a dead thing. We can have someone, you know, it's the little things that I've learned to trust in God. I can lose something and can't find it and be scrambling my mind and just twist it. And I, every time I say, Lord, just show me where it's at, or Lord, direct me in it just appears, because I know without a shadow of a doubt, he's not going to lead me in the wrong direction. I know he's going to lead me to a thing. Now, if there's something that I shouldn't have no business with, or somewhere I shouldn't be, he's not going to allow me to go. He's not going to direct that. We got to stop going to God, trying to get God to be a co-conspirator in our sins. God is not of sinful nature. Everything he created is good. Amen. Paul expresses in verse 16, I think it is, his ongoing remembrance and prayer for the audience, well, the people that he was praying for. He especially draws attention to their faith and love. Verse 16 says, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers. Hallelujah. Glory to God. That is Paul speaking on behalf of someone else. Hallelujah. Paul specifies that his remembrance and prayer is on the basis of what he has heard. We should always be clear as we use the word faith. Me and First Lady was talking about that the other day. We were doing something and we said, faith is this, but faith to walk for the Lord. My faith is when I get up this corner, when I get to this light, it's going to turn green. I ain't got to worry about it. That's faith. It's happening. Faith is believing in something that you can't see, but knowing that it's going to come to pass. Our faith, you know, we was talking about how I was walking down the steps and I said, you know, it just amazed me how God put us together. We just two total opposite. It wasn't nothing happening. I just happened to look down and the thought came to my mind. But it is fate that put us together, because we were two people who lived around the corner from each other, never knew each other. We hung out in some of the same places, never knew each other. And even the way that God guided us, or guided me to her, and she was already doing ministry in a neighborhood that I lived right around the corner from the church the whole time, never knew. She owned stores right up and down the avenue that I ran, up and down Germantown Avenue every day, and ran past the stores every day. But fate had it that eventually
It just don't happen overnight. God has to do some things before God gives you a precious pearl. He's going to let you become a professional jeweler. And what I mean by that, he's going to can't give you the pearl if you don't know how to take care of it, if you don't know how to clean it with worship, if you don't know how to comfort it in prayer, if you don't know how to lay it down very gently and just look at it and adore it. See, there's a process in becoming a jeweler for the Most High Jeweler. See, God owns all the riches in the world. He owns all the jewels, all the pearls, all the rubies, all the sapphires, all the emeralds, everything. He's not going to put a construction worker with a diamond. Because all you know how to do is take a hammer and a drill and just beat, bing, bing, bang, 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 tear, 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 tear. You have to be able to look at it, see the flaws in it, know how to clean it, know how to set it in its rightful place. You got to know how to just cherish it. Not the jewel itself, but the jewel and the individual that Christ has given you. Oh, hallelujah to the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. I trust and believe that God is good always. Please trust and believe with me that he is God and he is loving and he is kind. Paul specifies that his remembrance and prayer is on the basis of what he has heard. We should always be clear as we use the word faith that it should not be reduced to just mental assent to some creed, but as active truth and active trust in what God has done and will do. And life lived in participation in response to and reflection of what God has done. Do people hear of our faith, trust, and believe when we say we got faith in God? Because they watch us. How can we say we have faith, but we always, oh my God, I hope this thing, oh my God, are we always complaining? We have no trust. We don't believe. We have trust on Sundays when we in the church building. But the rest of the week, we trust God not. God loves us. God has kept us through so much. Look at what's going on in the world. But I'm saying all these things to say that we got to get back to praying for others. We got to get back to asking God to bless others, to lift them up out of their bad place, to lift them out of their dark place, to lift them out of their pit and move their mountain, God, and show them, God, that you're God all by yourself. We got to get back to praying their health and strength, praying for their salvation, that they know God the way we do. Amen. Hallelujah. I was thinking about how Paul and the scripture is so closely linked with love for all the saints. And again, Paul is thanking them not for warm feelings toward others, but love in action. Action speaks louder than words. We heard that all our life. Because this faith and love will be fleshed out later in this scripture, in this book, in this letter, in terms of the pursuit of unity, breaking through those lines that inhabit the reconciliation and the unity in the world. The community in Christ should never have within it evidence of the disunity that plagues the surrounding world. Where is the case? How can the transformation, the transformative live of love rooted in active faith be heard? How can life of love rooted in active faith be heard unless we get out and show it by our actions? People still want to be saved. People are crying out. I know the sun is shining and there's beaches and all these great places in Paris and Europe, but people on the inside is crying out. Yes, they have all the wealth and beautiful homes and nice cars and makeup artists and all that old good stuff the world may have. But without Jesus, you have I believe that the reason they are so miserable with all that stuff, it's like the title of the movie, they don't have the right stuff.
It's the right stuff. Jesus is the right stuff. The power of Jesus is the right stuff. Prayer from Jesus to Jesus is the right stuff. Loving thou neighbor as thy love thyself, that's the right stuff. We got to get back to doing it the way Jesus did it. Just imagine for a few seconds, just think. As he walked the earth, he prayed for everybody came his way. He spoke and ministered to everybody. He did so much that he had to go away and re-strengthen himself, and then the enemy still tried to come, but he still fought because there were so many souls connected to him dying on that cross that he knew he could not fall. He could not fail. We cannot fall. We can't surrender. We can't give up. We got to worship. We got to get to that place where no matter what, we continue to choose to worship. Because in that worship, oh, we become new creatures. Oh, there's some things that get tore down and broke down and never come back. We're going to have a song, and we're going to come back, and we're going to go to verses 17 through 19. But remember, when you used to worship, remember your breakthroughs. Remember how good you felt. Remember how the Lord came in. Remember how he spent time with you when you seeked him out in your worship.
For so long, I was silent. For so long, I did not have a song of praise.
I speak tall.
Presence filled my day, and clouds blocked my way. But there was a voice speaking to me, awaking the passion so quiet in me. So still in me. Give up, no. I choose to worship right now. My mind is made up. Is that your voice calling me into that secret place with thee? My heart is long for the song with thee. I choose to worship. Do I have anybody in here tonight that chooses to worship? I know sometimes it gets bad. I just can't lay here and give up. Say it with me, come on. I choose to worship you, Lord. I choose to worship right here in the midst of everything that I'm going through, God. Tears running down my face. Don't know where to go, don't know, have nobody to talk to, but I made up my mind I'm going to worship you in spirit and in truth. I bless your name. I glorify you right now. I'm desperate for your presence, God. I'm coming up. I'm a living witness, he'll heal you. Yes, he will.
He healed me. I'm gonna worship.
Come on, I need everybody in here to help me do it right now. Come on. He's healing me. Come on, I need you to lift yourself up out of that mess that you're in right now. Come on. Some of you have been down so long. Come on, make up your mind right now. I can't lay here and die. I got to seek after him. I hear his voice calling me right now. He's healing me. I'm coming to you broken tonight. I'm coming to you wounded tonight. I'm coming to you right now. I need your presence in my life. I'm going to worship, yes I am. He's healing me.
Heal me. I'm going to worship.
Oh, he's healing me. Yes, he is.
Heal me. I'm going to worship.
Bless the Lord at all times. My heart is long for this moment with thee.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to MCI Ministry Radio. This is our announcements. On Sunday morning at 9 a.m., you will be on the air with no other than the one and only, amen, Apostle Carolyn McNeil. On Monday night at 6 p.m., your fix at 6 with Pastor Keeping It Real McNeil. On Tuesday night, Bishop Thurman A. Butler, Undisputed Truth Ministries, at 6 p.m. On Wednesday night, Weekly Word Workout with Lady T, Undisputed Truth Ministry, at 6 p.m. Also, don't forget about Friday night. Friday is Fresh Fire Friday, the blowing of the shofar. You get praise and you get worship songs. And Pastor Matthew McNeil also brings a refreshing word, Fresh Friday Fruit. You don't want to miss none of these days. We thank God for you, you and you. And if you like to be a blessing to the ministry, you may do so or sponsor. You can reach us. Our ministry phone number is 302-883-9799. Also, if you'd like to contact us, you can also reach us at mci2621@yahoo.com. For all prayer requests, you can dial 302-883-9799, text or call, or use our email address. We thank God for you, you and you. May you have a blessed and wonderful day. God bless you all. Jesus loves you, and so do we.
Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. I want to try to get through this beautiful lesson, amen, that the Lord has laid upon us. We were going to talk about verse 17 through 19 where Paul highlights the purpose of his prayer because he remembers the community in Christ and prays constantly in order that God might give y'all as with 90% of the uses of you in the New Testament, it is a plural of wisdom and revelation. Amen. Glory to God. I want to, before we go any further,
continue this because I got a few scriptures that I really want us to talk about. Amen. Paul's emphasis here lies on his hope that God will make known to the community God's wisdom. Paul emphasizes here in this scripture, here lies on his hope, on his hope that God will make known to the community God's wisdom, riches, hope, and power. The wisdom is for the community to be worked out as the people live and love in relationship with one another and the surrounding world. Hallelujah. His theological logic and all of that, his theological logic comes from, I want to say, roots the community's existence and what God has done. It is God who has acted for them. In many pulpits, the reminder to rely on what God has done is nearly a broken record, an overplayed tune in Christian theology. Yet it is good to keep playing this tune, as it is all too easy for us humans to start thinking that we can actually set the course for our own existence and believe it too. And we believe that it's actually going to turn out so well without Jesus. But however, if we play this tune too often, it loses much of its power. We need to be reminded more specifically of God's activity that establishes and defines us, and not just in general that we are free or forgiven or redeemed, not by what we've done, but because of what God has done. We need constant reminder of the transforming and upside down to the world's nature of God's act in it, and God's act to crucify Jesus, who now reigns as Lord of all creation. The wisdom, riches, hope, and power come through and are lived out in the ways the normal system of the world would find foolish. Amen. Verses 22-23, Paul elaborates on the power of God, focusing on God's power displayed in God's raising and exalting of Jesus Christ. I don't want to say exalting. I want to make sure I'm saying it right. Exaltation. Yes, of Jesus Christ. Because in the book of Timothy, chapter 2, I'm going to read something from chapter 2, verses 1 through 5. It says, I exhort therefore the first of all, supplications, prayer, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of truth. For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, and that man is Jesus Christ. I never, never want to forget that. And to me, this is such a big prayer, because when Paul thought of prayer, he didn't think small. He said, our prayers should be for all men, all men, all mankind. We should pray for kings, presidents, dope fiends, hustlers, pimps, players, and other national and local leaders. And yes, this includes those duly elected officials whom we voted against in the last election, like Mr. Donald Trump. Hallelujah. We have to pray for even him. Paul knew that prayer has power to change things, and that's the bottom line. Genuine prayer has the power to change things, big things, not in vain. Do godly men pray for national and world peace? God has control over national and international affairs, and it is time for peace that the followers of Jesus can quietly pursue a life of holiness. No straddling the fence. No, today I'm saved, tomorrow I'm not. Oh, today I don't want to cuss, today I will. Live a life of holiness. Because another prayer that Paul said we should pray is that individuals who don't know Jesus Christ, both those who lead and otherwise, will be saved. See, because Paul put emphasis that God wants to see all people come to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. And you can go to, if you go to the book of Ezekiel chapter 31, I think 32, 33, because you have the privilege of drawing near to God. Take some time now and go to him in prayer. And remember to think big. Pray for your local and national government leaders, the people who are making decisions, the people who are making decisions in the communities, in the nations, in the world. If they're not making sound decisions, we should be on the altar praying. We should be having intercession, praying for them. We should just have prayer night for the leaders. They don't have to know we're praying for them, but that is all part of our assignment, to come together to pray for the nation, pray for the leaders of the nation, pray for their health, their family, their friends, whoever they may be. If they're in position of rule, we should be praying for the leaders. Hallelujah. Because we have the privilege of drawing near to God, and we need to take some time and go to him in prayer and remember who we are and who he say we are. We got to think big. Pray for our government. Pray for our leaders. Pray for peace on earth. Pray for peace in this world. Pray that many might come to Christ. Pray that many might come to a saving knowledge of Jesus. We got to remember the effect that it had on us. We have to remember how someone prayed for us. We have to remember prayer of a righteous man. It availeth much. That's the Bible. Go to the book of James, I think it is. That's the Bible. 5:16. That's the Bible. Hallelujah. Listen. There are things, you know, I when I think about Timothy, I think about how he had to conquer his fears. And a lot of us have to conquer fears. Some of, you know, it amazes me how people are ashamed when, you know, we could be somewhere and we could be talking and having a good time, and we be lying, and then soon somebody start talking about the love of the Lord, or somebody talking about how good Jesus is, or somebody talking about let's pray. We back off when we're around certain people. Listen, I refuse. I don't care who likes me or who don't. I stand for Jesus. I don't care what you think about me. I don't care how you think about me. I stand for Jesus. And I'm in a process of learning taller than I've ever stood, harder and firmer than I ever stood for Jesus. Because like Timothy, Like the you ever see the sign say no fear, no fear? Well, if you find this slogan, you can find it. It's a slogan. It's on hats and shirts and bumper stickers, if you, wherever you see, you name it, it's there. But this has been a popular motto of those who are currently in their 20s and 30s and 19, 18, because many of these people seem to feel that if they say no fear loud enough and often enough, and some of us the same way, we say no fear long enough and loud enough, they will indeed overcome fear. But in reality, we all have fears that cannot be overcome by no fear. All fears cannot be overcome by mottos, by slogans, by nothing. Anxieties can immobilize us, but yet we have an example of someone who made no fear a reality in his life. Like Timothy, we got to make no fear a reality in our life. Amen. I'm going to turn with me to the book of Job. I have a little more time. I want a few scriptures to go over with you and to talk with you, if you don't mind, to talk with me. And just to, you know, I love this because to me it's fellowshipping with my brothers and sisters and how we can talk about the goodness of the Lord and how we know how good God has been to us and how we're going to get out and start telling people about the goodness of the Lord. I want to get back to those days where the pastors and the preachers knocked on your front door, or they came to you, had a picnic and a barbecue. The pastor came by, got a sandwich, prayed for the barbecue, made sure everything, got him a sandwich, a Coca-Cola soda, and went up the street and prayed for somebody else. But then was good times. But we're altering God's, we're allowing people to get in and alter God's image. And that's not, I don't think that's a, you know, I don't think that's good. I think we got to get to a place where we remember that God is God by himself, but he called us to do a work. Amen. The book of Job, chapter 42, verse 10 says, "And the Lord turned the captivity of Job when he prayed for his friends. Also, the Lord gave Job twice as much as he had before." I know y'all know the story, how he lost his family. His wife talked it crazy. He had all these diseases. People were walking around talking about he must have did something wrong. He ain't, something ain't right. But listen, let me tell you something. And I'm going to do this. I'm going to put it right on a sweatshirt or something. I'm going to do it. Forgiveness plus prayer is a mighty, mighty ingredient, because God forgave Job's friends, you know, the ones talked about him and tried to slander his name and all those things. God forgave Job's friends because they offered a sacrifice and because Job prayed for them. After all that, just sit back now and think about people you know did you wrong. You know they doing you wrong now. You know. But won't he reward you when you pray for them? Because, listen, God looks at that as, them are still my children. And because you can find it in your heart after they done beat you down with words, lied on you, deceived, and manipulated, and treated you like trash, you can still go on your knees in a submissive position and cry out to me and say, Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. Help them in their time of need. Heal them when they are sick. You can get down and break down and even fast for them. Woo! You know God. God loves that because he knows you are chosen to do a work. Hallelujah. 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 We got to get down and even pray for our enemies, y'all. Hallelujah. Because Job prayed for them, and reconciliation goes further than forgiveness. It involves prayer for those who violate you. Job's friends' well-being. Go to verse 8 if you don't believe me. Therefore, take unto you now 7 bullocks and 7 rams, and go to my servant Job and offer up for yourselves a burnt offering. And my servant Job shall pray for you, for him will I accept. Oh my God, Jesus, use your name, first name.
He just, oh, go to my servant Matthew, and he will pray for you. And his prayer, I would accept. Listen, listen, it got to get good like that. Hallelujah. Offer it, and my servant Job shall pray for you. For him will I accept, lest I deal with you after your folly, and that ye have not spoken of me the thing which is right, like my servant Job. Ooh, he got your back. Don't you know he got your back? Listen, you ain't got to look back for, that's why they say don't look back at your past. Jesus done cleaned that up. Matter of fact, he back there, you can't even see it. He's like a shield. You try to look at your past, it's not even there. Hallelujah. Ooh, I like that. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. He say, it involves prayer for those who violate you, Job's friends, well-being, and his own were based on his prayer for those who made his life miserable. Listen, y'all get that? People made your life miserable. You can sit back and think of some people right now that have made your life miserable. Do you got the heart to sit back and pray for them a real prayer, a genuine prayer, a prayer of love, compassion, hope that they get saved and delivered, a prayer of compassion, and Lord, even lead me to them to hug them and tell them I forgive them? You got to be somebody strong in Christ to do that. Consider this, okay, view this, picture this, view and picture this picture of forgiveness and the reconciliation. Forgive those who have wronged you and pray for their restoration to God and their well-being. It takes a good and godly man to do so. Think about that. It takes a good and godly. And how much time I got? I need one more scripture. If y'all just one more scripture. Hallelujah. We got one more scripture here. Whew. Hallelujah. Well, the book of Ephesians again. Let's go with me to the book of Ephesians. I'm so sorry. I'm running out of time. And I do not like, but you ever notice, you ever go to a restaurant and the food gets so good and they're talking about all you can eat, and then all of a sudden we about to close. Nah, that's how I feel right now. I got a good meal. Like God done fed me some stuff, and I just want a little more to just get me through the night, you can say. Just get me through the night. Hallelujah. Can you imagine going through the night with Jesus by your side, just knowing that he is there, just knowing that he got your back, that he's just covering you? Can you imagine you look up and see an angel just sitting there smiling down on you? I got you, my daughter. I got you, my son. Can you imagine that? Let's go to the book of Ephesians chapter 6 and 18. We're going to try to finish. Yeah, we're going to try to. I'm going to put something together. I'm going to ask the Lord to help me put something together. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. I hear you. Thank you, Jesus. I just want to read this. Pray it always with all prayer and supplications in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication, all saints. Listen, when I hear that, I think about praying and preparing for battle. Because if you go before that, God talks about the whole armor of God, putting on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand the evil day, and having done all, stand. Paul uses vivid military imagination or imagery and this passage to encourage the reader in their daily Christian walk. Reading through this passage, one can almost envision a war, putting on his armor piece by piece. But don't miss the main point of this passage. The focus must be on personal preparation, not on the enemy,
How does the godly man or woman prepare to live each day as a follower of Jesus Christ? By paying careful attention to keeping his sword sharp. Verse 17 says, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. And by praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, verse 18 says, God's word and prayer are the Christian's two greatest weapons against evil. Against these, the enemy, fiery darts, temptations, lust, greed, rebellion, and the likeness of all useless. Oh, glory to God. He mapped out a way for us to get up after prayer, after worship, after fellowship. He has laid out a guard for us to put on the helmet of salvation, to be ready to walk out. And whatever comes our way, he has equipped us with his word. Oh, we got to get back into the word. We got to eat it up. We got to get obese in the word. This has been your Fix at Six, and I have been your host, Pastor Keeping It Real McNeil. I hope and pray that God's word has manifested something new in me and you. Until we meet again, Father God, we thank you for what you allowed us to do. We thank you for your presence. We thank you for your atmosphere. We thank you for your air. We thank you for your presence. We thank you for your keeping power, wisdom, love, and understanding. And most of all, we thank you for your divine knowledge and new ways of living, walking, and talking. And we know everything is going to be all right because we have to trust and believe in Christ Jesus, our Savior. Our Savior, who gave it all up so we could live. Let's not be selfish. Let's give of ourselves so when someone else can live and know Jesus. In Jesus' name I've prayed. Thank you, Father, for another night. Amen. Hallelujah. We got a song and good night. Ah, thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah, God.
You did not wait for me to draw nigh to you, but you clothed yourself in frail humanity. You did not wait for me to cry out to you, but you let me hear your voice calling me.
But you let me.